Who are the ultra-Orthodox? So then all Jews know my manner of life from my youth up, that I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest sect of our religion. Acts 26, 4a and 5b. I have had a personal burden for the ultra-Orthodox ever since the Lord touched me with his heart for Israel in 1975. If Saul of Tarsus lived in our day, he would be ultra-Orthodox. After his Damascus Road encounter with the Messiah, the great apostle later described himself as having lived according to the strictest sect of the Pharisees, meaning I was as religious as you can get. The ultra-Orthodox are the modern-day Pharisees who practice rabbinic Judaism and beyond, according to the strictest standards of religious observance. They are generally recognized by their black hats and coats, full beards, and pious side curls, according to have literally stepped out of the Middle Ages into the contemporary world. Distinguished from modern and traditional Orthodox, many ultra-Orthodox do not recognize the state of Israel. Yes, you read that correctly. They believe the land is holy, but the state is not, and that only Messiah can establish the true Israel. Many believers can say amen to this, separating the holy from the profane, recognizing that the current state of Israel is very much the dry bones of Ezekiel, awaiting the breath of God to raise it to spiritual life. The world of Orthodox Judaism is quite broad in its spectrum of observance. Many Orthodox Jews differ from the traditional Orthodox, who yet differ from the ultra-Orthodox, and it is unlikely that any definitive description can be reached this side of heaven. However, I will attempt to give a brief overview of the groups within Orthodox Judaism. Several months before moving to Israel, while still living in the States, the Lord led me to tear out the listing in the yellow pages for all the temples and synagogues in my neighborhood. There were many, and every Friday evening and Saturday morning, I would visit a different shul, Shabbat service, and silently intercede. One of my favorite synagogues was the Modern Orthodox. The men were separated from the women. However, the mechitza divider was low enough so that everyone could see the rabbi, the Torah table, and each other. Each group was permitted to touch the Torah as it was paraded through the sanctuary. Not only in the men's section, what's more, some of the members apparently lived too far away to walk and drove to the synagogue. I know this because they were parking on the same side of the street that I was. While this is extremely rare even in modern Orthodoxy, it is a phenomena that would lead to stoning in an ultra-Orthodox neighborhood. The women wore fashionable dresses, cosmetics, and jewelry. Their orthodoxy was designed to observe the essentials while embracing the realities of a modern world and exhibiting a high degree of tolerance for other branches of Judaism, with the exception of Messianic Judaism. Modern Orthodox Jews are Zionist, but not radical Zionist. They support the state of Israel and love the land, but are quite willing to share it for the promise of peace. For the sake of clarification, all who believe that God has promised Israel an inheritance within the defined borders of Scripture are in a sense Zionist. This does not mean we necessarily support every action of the state, and while the state is secular at present, its existence nevertheless fulfills prophecy, and believers are urged to pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Psalm 122:6, and to stand as watchmen on her walls in Isaiah 62:6 and 7 until the purposes of God for her are fulfilled. The traditional Orthodox could be described as the more zealous Zionists. These are the Jews who wear multicolored knit kippahs, skull caps, as opposed to the black velvet of the ultra-Orthodox. Established themselves in the settlements, Jewish communities such as Hebron, and would fight to the last drop of the blood for the survival of the state of Israel. They believe in the biblical boundaries of the land promised to the patriarchs and resist the giving of any portion of it to the Palestinians or anyone else under any circumstances. Many Christian Zionists who pray for Israel identify most closely with the traditional Orthodox. The psychological structure of ultra-Orthodoxy reveals it as a cultic system, however unpleasant this may be to acknowledge. The strategy is to create dependence on the community, shelter the inhabitants from the outside world, keep them ignorant of literature outside the boundaries of Torah, and instill fear of punishment or ostracism for any slight disobedience of rabbinic decrees or attempts to break away from strict conformity to the system. For I say to you, you shall not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew 23:39. Why target the ultra-Orthodox specifically for prayer? As we focus in on who Jesus is speaking to when he says these words, the question is easily answered. At the beginning of chapter 23, Yeshua is addressing the multitudes, his disciples, and anyone in the vicinity who can hear his voice. But in verse 13, he begins to zero in on the scribes, the Pharisees, and teachers of the law, and ends his discourse with the promising challenge. When you, the religious, say to me, Jesus, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, I will come. The multitudes had already proclaimed these words, leading Jesus on a colt down the Mount of Olives, welcoming him with palm branches and spreading their prayer shawls, tallits, on the road a week before his death on the cross. Generally speaking, the multitudes loved Jesus, but the Pharisees rebuked them. Luke 19:39, and rejected their messianic declarations of Hosanna to the King. The primary reason for focused prayer for the ultra-Orthodox is that they are a strategic key to the return of the Messiah and end-time evangelism. Of all the streams within Judaism, the ultra-Orthodox are the most zealous for the Messiah. They may be confused and deceived as to his identity, but they, more than any Orthodox group, embrace a concept of Messiah and fervently await his coming. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from men. For you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Matthew 23:13. Matthew 23 is the famous chapter of woes, and I had often wondered why Yeshua, who was so hard on the Pharisees, his judgments appear scathing and merciless. One day he drew me to verse 13. Those in positions of spiritual authority have the power to shut the door of the kingdom of heaven to their disciples. They hold in their hands the souls of lost men. Jesus didn't speak this way to the prostitutes or tax collectors. They were sinners and knew it, but the Pharisees were self-righteous and controlled. The spiritual climate that ultimately led to the rejection of the Messiah. But this is not the end of the story. Prophetically speaking, just as the Pharisees of the first century were used by the enemy to persuade the nation away from Yeshua, God will use the end-time Pharisees to persuade the remnant of the nation back to Yeshua. These are exciting times to be alive in Jesus. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5a. The Lord is stirring up his zeal for the salvation of his people, imparting discernment to his intercessors and giving us tools that will assist us to effectively partner with him in prayer so that his beloved may see and embrace the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. If you are reading this book, you are likely to have a love for the religious community in your heart and are praying for their salvation. Our burden for the ultra-Orthodox will increase, our compassion grow, and our understanding of their fanatic and often unpredictable behavior sharpen as we discover how the enemy has trapped them into mysticism and is controlling them through it. Later, we will be exploring Hasidism, a major movement within ultra-Orthodoxy. Our purpose for investigating Hasidic concepts is not to gain head knowledge, to criticize or judge, but to expose the works of darkness, identify the pillars of deception, and neutralize through prayer every high thing that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Our supreme joy is to witness the day when the modern Pharisee, the ultra-Orthodox, will greet Yeshua with the messianic welcome, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai, which is blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Father God, perhaps the greatest prayer we could pray for the ultra-Orthodox is that you would cause the words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," to rise from their lips, however you accomplish this miracle. We thank you that you know the beginning from the end, and that all things come to pass in the fullness of time. We praise you that in these last days you are preparing the hearts of the ultra-Orthodox, the ultimate symbol of religious leadership, to greet and welcome Messiah Yeshua. We present ourselves as priests to intercede on their behalf, and we pray that you would anoint and give wings to our prayers, that they would rise to heaven and accomplish your purpose for these end times. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.